Today's tshuva is going to be a tshuva by the Binyan Tzion HaChadoshos, Siman Chof Gimel, of Yaakov Edlinger. How do we treat Mechalei Shabbos for Hesher, Jews who publicly violate the Shabbos? He writes a tshuva of that's introduced, Psakim Shola Halacha Lamaisa. So this apparently is a psak halacha that he writes, a ruling. He says it's not Halacha Lamaisa. In other words, need to think about it a little bit. This is what I think, but it's not for practical halachic ruling. We need to consider a little more, but this tshuva was so influential. Who was Rav Yaakov Edlinger? He's born in 1798 in Germany. He dies in 1871. He is the rabbi of various communities in Germany, particularly Altona. He is a staunch opponent of the Reform movement and his students. Rav Azriel Hildesheimer of Shimshon Fall Hirsch found the Torah Im Derech Eretz movement, which opposed the inroads made on the Orthodox camp by the Reformers. His tshuva is, the location of the tshuva is Altona. It's dated Chav Tes Mar Cheshvan, Tafresh Chav Aleph, which is 1861, and this is written to, I think, his son-in-law, Rav Shmaryahu Tzuckerman. Tzuckerman thought that he writes Rav Tzuckerman, who haya noheg lesser b'shtias yad shenogel bo Yisroel mechalei Shabbos for Hesher. That Rav Tzuckerman thought that a someone who's mechalei Shabbos for Hesher, someone who publicly violates Shabbos and he touched wine, so that wine should be forbidden. Because a Mechalei Shabbos for Hesher is treated as someone who rejects the Torah, a mumar. And he proves it from a tshuva, from the Mabit Rav Trani, who lived in the 16th century, and around the same time as the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Moshe ben Yosef Detrani, who lived around the same time as the Shulchan Aruch. And so he wrote a tshuva. And this tshuva is found in the Nekudas HaKesef, written by the Shach, in Siman Kuf Chav Dalet, who said that you can't, that the Karaim, the Kerites, who touched wine, so that wine would be usher. You can't drink that wine. Why? They profane the modos, the holidays, because they keep a different calendar than the traditional Jews. And the Mabit says that the Karaites were like, since they violate the modos, they're like someone who's mechalei Shabbos. However, Amnam Yesh Mishacholikala, but some argue on him. Dati Baza. And therefore, Rav Tzuckerman asks Rav Yaakov Edlinger, what are his thoughts on the matter? So Edlinger begins by writing your classical response, a classical halachic response. The Fidi is Daiti Hadinimom. On the surface, it seems that he's correct. The Chemin to Mechal Shabbos for Hesher, who Kamumer L'chol Torah. That's it. Someone who violates Shabbos publicly is like someone who's a Mumar. He rejects the entire Torah. Dina Kovit Kochavim. He is considered like a star worshiper. And the Efshar, Shafila Barshal. Shavi bin Kudos Kasef Shav Shisvirle, the Karayim Adam Osu. And maybe the Maharshal, who disagrees with the Mabit, who says that the Karaites maybe are not, that they're, that maybe the wine of the Karaites are not forbidden, Modeh Bazeh. He might still admit, in our case, why the Karaim ain't Mechalim Shabbosos, Rak Bo Ados. The Karaites only violate the Jewish holidays. They don't violate Shabbos. Because they argue on our calendar. He doesn't hold that if you profane the Jewish holidays, like you're profaning Shabbos. He doesn't hold of that analogy, and therefore Karaites are not Mechalel Shabbos before Hesher, and therefore they're not treated as Mumarim, they're not treated as Ovdei, as star worshippers. So maybe that's why he disagrees. However, Mechalel Shabbos mamish chol yama, if a mum l'chol Torah, efshe gam amar shamo de. But maybe So does Machal Shabbos, in reality, real Shabbos, like your 19th century public Shabbos violators, according to everyone, he's considered a mumar l'chol Torah kula. It's possible even the Marshal would agree. The ain lomar, but don't say. Kiva d'gzeras yedem hu mishum b'nosein v'harei b'nos v'chalei Shabbos lo nasher. So maybe you can make a strong argument. Listen, what's the reason why we cannot drink wine that was touched by a non-Jew? So let's assume we're not dealing with yayin nesach. We're not dealing with wine with that they might have used for, the non-Jews may have been used for idolatrous purposes. Let's say stam yenam, regular wine that has not been used for idolatrous purposes. Nevertheless, there's a prohibition to drink the wine that was touched by non-Jew. Why? Because it might lead to intermarriage. It might lead to closer social relationships and eventually intermarriage. So that's the reason why you can't drink the wine from that was touched by a non-Jew. But that, why should that apply to someone who violates Shabbos? You're allowed to marry someone who violates Shabbos. There's a prohibition to marry a non-Jew. So I can understand that the gzeira, the decree of not touching wine handled by a non-Jew because of marriage, intermarriage, but that shouldn't apply to someone who is Machal Shabbos for Hesha. Yeah, okay, we treat someone who's Machal Shabbos for Hesha like a non-Jew, but maybe in general you would do that, but not for this reason, not when it comes to prohibiting their wine, not when it comes to when we know the reason is because of intermarriage, it just shouldn't apply. So he's saying, don't make that argument. Don't say that you should be allowed to drink the wine that was touched by a Bachal Shabbos Freshia because the reason of Zera doesn't apply here. Zeino, the imkein mumar lavaros kochav lo yeser yayin bishtia. Then you would make the same argument when it comes to, let's say, someone who's Jewish, but he worships Avodah Zarah. He's an idolater. Same thing. We should be allowed to drink his wine as well, because you're allowed to marry into the family also, because he's Jewish. And yet, Ulafima Darin Bechulin Oser. But the Gemara Chulin says that it's Oser, it's clearly forbidden to drink wine that was touched by a Jew who worships Avodah Zarah, because so to worship Avodah Zarah is like a mumar, he's treated as a non-Jew, and therefore the gzeira applies. There's whatever the rules are for a non-Jew, it applies to someone who is Ovid Avodah Zarah, who worships idolatry. And therefore, says Rav Ellinger, it should apply to someone who publicly violates Shabbos. So he's stuck here. He says, even though the reason of the gzeira, the underlying reason of the gzeira doesn't apply, doesn't make a difference. Once we make a gzeira, once we treat someone who violates Shabbos publicly like a non-Jew, similarly, it's similar to the fact that we treat someone who worships, a Jew worships idolatry. We treat him also as a non-Jew. And so all the rules of the non-Jew apply to the public Shabbos violator, to so to worship of Avodah Zarah, and therefore we treat, even though there's no prohibition of chasnus with the public Shabbos violator, still gzera applies. So if the tshuva had ended here, it would be a nice tshuva. He's saying the gzera applies even though the reason doesn't apply. The next paragraph is what made this tshuva famous. Because he continues and he writes, Vehide ad ko dibarnu meikar hadid. Until now, we've written about the basic halacha. Eich ladun b'chal shas b'farhesha. How do we treat someone who publicly violates Shabbos? Avalaposha Yisrael shebizmanenu. But to those Jewish sitters of our days, lo Yodana ba'adun bohem. I don't know how to treat them. How do I categorize them? Achar sheba avodoseinu harabim posa habaheres larov. Right, that because of our sins, the leprosy has spread so much. Ad sheberuvam chil Shabbos nasa keheter. And nowadays, so many Jews are violating Shabbos publicly, and it's almost like they think it's permitted. It's not like in the days of old, before the Enlightenment, where only maybe a handful of Jews once in a while would be Mechallel Shabbos. Ah, so then we would treat them. They knew it was wrong, so we treat them like a non-Jew. They'd have rules like a non-Jew. However, here where so many Jews are Mechallel Shabbos, they view it as if it's permissible. They don't realize that something's wrong. So first he wants to say that maybe they don't have a status of Mumar. Maybe they have a status of what's called Omer Mutter. They think that it's permitted. It's not a full-fledged mazid. It's not an act of rebellion. So maybe we don't categorize them as a Mumar. Furthermore, he writes, V'yesh bohem shemispalim tefila Shabbos, umekachim kiddush hayom, v'achar kach mechalim Shabbos b'melachos toraisa u'drabonon. And he says, and many of them, they daven the tefila of Shabbos. They make kiddush. And then, let's say they go to work, and they do work afterwards. V'rei mechalel Shabbos nechshav kemumar bilvad mipnei she'akofer b'Shabbos kofer b'briya uvabore. And why do we say that someone who's mechalel Shabbos is like a mumar? He rejects Judaism. He's like a non-Jew. It's only because someone who rejects Shabbos, what is he rejecting? If he does work, if he publicly work on Shabbos, he's in effect expressing the fact that he rejects creation. And he rejects the Creator. But Vizab, this person who observes, who makes Kiddush, who davids, he says in the davening, Zecher Lamasa Bracious, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiddush, Hashem created the world. Zemoda, Yidei Tefillah V'Kiddush. He's admitting in the Creator and the creation. He violates Shabbos, but it doesn't express the same values as it did hundreds of years beforehand. Furthermore, first he says, number one, it might be like Omer Mutter. So it's not a full-fledged act of rebellion. And number two, how can we call them heretics? Their public violation of Shabbos is not necessarily indicative of a lack of emunah and basic fundamental principles, because they're also reciting Kiddush and they're davening the Shabbos prayers. And he goes on and he says, Uma gam bibneim asher komu tachteim, and their children who came from them, asher lo yadu, v'lo shemu dinei Shabbos. So maybe the first generation of people who violate Shabbos, we treat them one way, but their descendants, the children who grew up not observing Shabbos, they may be like the Sadducees, the Tzidokim of the Second Temple period. They're not like Mumarim. Even though they violate Shabbos, they're simply following what their parents did. So now he says maybe they're in a different category. Tidok Shanishba, they're like a child who was taken captive among non-Jews. So he doesn't know anything about Judaism. And he says more than that. He says that many of these Jews are even better than the Karaites. Why? Because he says the Karaites kafu gabi kari adash shemoli v'lo pari vein lahem dinei gidin v'kiddushin. The many of the Karaites, they didn't do mila in the proper way, and they don't have the same laws of gidin and kiddushin. Therefore, the kids are mamzerim. Uvazev, rova poshin shibis many low parts of. But the Jews where I live, or from our generation, who are mechalel Shabbos, for the most part, they follow mila, they observe mila, they observe gittin and kedushin. So what he concludes is, v'lachein, and therefore the fidius deity, it seems to be hamachber lachshiv negiyas yain shel aposhim halalu listab yedam tavol abracha. Those who want to be strict to consider touching of the wine of these public Shabbos violators, so they get a blessing. However, even those who want to be lenient, there's what to rely on. Imlo shemim vura ladu, unless it's clear to us, Yodea Dine Shabbos, that he knows the laws of Shabbos, who may is part of Lachalob if they are Sar of Yisrael, and he's so obstinate to violate the Shabbos in front of 10 people. Shezev vade kemumar gavar. So then he would be considered a mumar. Unagias ya yedo usur. The touching of the wine would be forbidden. Now, essentially, he says that Mechalel Shabbos in modern context may not be symptomatic of Pritzus. These people still believe in God as being the Borei Shemayim V'aretz. They're still part of Knesset Yisrael. He says you can't change the Gezerah of Stam Yenam to not apply to Jews who are considered like idolaters. But you can change the definition of who's considered like a pagan, like a mumar. What's the significance of this tshuva? This is tshuva that set the stage for many later tshuvos that discuss the question of what's the status of non-halachically observant Jews nowadays. And it's not just an issue of can you touch their wine? Can they count towards a minyan? Do they get kibudim and shul? What's the law of bishalakum? For example, Rav David Tzvi Hoffman writes a tshuva about how a public Shabbos violator was permitted to lead the davening. Rav Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss in Minchas Yitzchak, 20th century post-Knesset Yisrael, wrote that an intermarried Jew can't join a minyan. Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote different tshuvos, and he had different positions and different tshuvos regarding Stam Yenam. He seemed to be up for non-observant Jews. He seemed to be strict in earlier tshuvos, but there seemed to have been some ambiguity in later tshuvos. He discussed whether they could join with a minyan. He says maybe the source of a minyan, the idea of you need 10 people for a minyan is with the Meraglim. So they weren't so observant. So maybe you can have a non-observant Jew as part of the minyan. He writes tshuvos about giving an aliyah for a Jew who's non-observant. Rav Vad Yosef discusses this issue about, and he actually comes out leniently with touching wine, with drinking wine that was touched by a non-observant Jew. And again, all of these questions really emanate from this one tshuva, which sets the stage for the position that perhaps in the modern era, the status of a non-observant Jew, or a Jew who did not observe Shabbos, and who publicly violates Shabbos, might be different, may be viewed differently, and may have a different connotation than it did in the days of the Gemara. And for good reason, many Jews identify with Jewish values, Jewish beliefs, Jewish principles, even if they're Mechalel Shabbos, and how far do you go, and in what context. So that was left for later poskim to sort of flesh out in different contexts. But the first tshuva that really deals with this and brings up this concept is this tshuva by Rav Yaakov Ettlinger in 1861.